and welcome to the Victory Devotional Podcast. We invite you to take the next few minutes to connect with God, hear His voice, and respond in worship and prayer. Here's today's message.
Lord, we praise You for who You are and thank You for all that You have done for us. We stand forever amazed at Your grace and mercy in our lives and that of our nation. In Jesus' name, amen. We will continue with our series on the book of Hebrews. I hope that just as you have been studying with us every morning, different texts from the Bible, you too are growing deeply in your understanding of God's Word, growing in your own relationship with God, and learning every day how to wield the sword of the Spirit in your daily life. We're going to read from Hebrews chapter 9. I want you to pull out your Bible and read with me our text this morning. It's from Hebrews chapter 9, verses 23 to 28. Thus, it was necessary for the copies of the heavenly things to be purified with these rites, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. Nor was it to offer himself repeatedly, as a high priest enters in the holy places every year with blood not his own, for then he would have had to suffer repeatedly since the foundation of the world. But as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. This is the word of the Lord for us this morning. You know, I was just reading that. I remember the season or the years before I became a pastor. Part of my work was to help with different construction sites, building construction. Part of that process would be the architect showing a design on paper of the structure the owner wants or has in mind. They'll talk about the design. The architect would come up with something on paper. Now, as they agree on an initial design, there will be modification until they get to a final design. Then they would build some sort of scale model of the building the owner wanted designed. No? You have in your mind, as the owner, a picture of what you want. The architect puts it on paper. As you progress, the architect eventually comes up with a model. It's like a scale model. Now, these architecture firms even have software that could create for you a three-dimensional model of the building. It's really amazing. This 3D model gives you a feel of what it will look like, as if you're in the newly built property yourself. It's amazing. I've seen some of these, you know, and they give you a real sense of excitement when you see them on screen. It's like you have a feel of the place, of the building. Now, these models give that excitement. Admittedly, I was really excited every time I'd see them. However, I have to tell you, the excitement of those models, even if they are three-dimensional ones, do not quite compare to the thrill that you feel when you actually walk into the real thing. They just don't quite compare. The models gave me a picture and helped me understand what will eventually be built. Yet the finished work always, always is what brought the fulfillment. You know, similarly, the writer of Hebrews was saying that everything that was there, everything that was made with their hands, such as the mosaic tabernacle, the vessels, were all copies. It helped the people have a picture of what God had for them. Yet it was not quite what He had ultimately planned for them. You know, we saw and we heard the last few days how the place of worship was set up so there could be atonement or sacrifice for the sins of the people. We learned how the high priest once a year had to enter the holiest place to offer a sacrifice for sins, for himself and the sins of the people, even the unintentional sins. You know, it was a rigor the people of Israel have embraced and lived with all their lives. Now, the writer of Hebrews was saying, look, that's just a prototype, a model of God's ultimate plan. The reality of God's plan is so much better. That, in essence, was what the writer of Hebrews was telling them. That every time you sin, you had to bring an animal, you know, because every time, what happened was, every time they'd sin, they had to bring an animal sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. You know, they needed a priest to mediate between them and God. That basically, the writer of Hebrews was saying, you needed to go to the tabernacle to experience God's presence. Now, can you imagine living that way? Imagine having to come to this chapel. This is a prayer chapel. Coming to this chapel every single time to offer a sacrifice because you sin. Can you imagine living life that way to this day? You see, that was just a picture. The writer was telling the people, now is the reality of what God intended all along. But what is his reality? In Jesus, everything is new. Why? Because Jesus is the perfect sacrifice. Now, what is the significance of Jesus Christ being the perfect sacrifice for our lives today? Number one, we need to remember, because of Christ, we now have a faithful mediator before God. In verse 24 of the text we read, let me read it for us. For Christ has entered, not into holy places made with hands, which are copies of the true things, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God on our behalf. You know, when it says Jesus appears in the presence of God on our behalf, it means we have a mediator. When there's a conflict, there is someone who helps intervene on our behalf. That's what Jesus does for us all the time. And when we sin, that creates conflict for us, between us and God. Now, what else does Christ being the perfect sacrifice mean for us? Because of Christ, no further sacrifice for the forgiveness of our sins is necessary. In Hebrews chapter 9, in the second part of verse 26, it says, but as it is, he has appeared once for all at the end of the ages to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. That once for all statement means the work of Christ changed the course for all of life. If that did not happen, can you imagine coming, like what I said, coming to this chapel every single time, you make a mistake, or we make a mistake, hoping and praying for God's forgiveness. Jesus did it once for all. That means his sacrifice was enough. It is sufficient for all sins, past, present, and future. Now, I remember growing up and seeing every year people who, during Holy Week, would sacrifice and try to embrace the sacrifices Jesus made on the way to Calvary. They would try to reenact it. I could not understand it then. So for me, it was just a Holy Week break spectacle. That was all it was for me. Some of you probably never saw any of those, and you cannot comprehend lashing yourself on the back for all your sins. However, my question is this. In what areas of your life do you live as if what Jesus did is not enough? How do you deal with life when you make a mistake and commit a sin? Read your Bible more, go to church on site and not just online, pray longer. You know, what are the areas in your life where you behave and you live life as if what Jesus did wasn't enough? We have relationships where, you know, we are used to making up for our mistakes. In Filipino, we call it bumabawi tayo. Bawi na lang ako. You know, and I don't have anything against that. I have the tendency to be like that, you know, bawin na lang. And I just hope we do not bring it in our relationship with God, in His forgiveness of our sins. The sacrifice of Christ did away with sin once and for all, past, present, future. And, you know, when we find ourselves in that predicament, I hope we go back to what the Word says. Jesus gave us the perfect sacrifice, and we no longer need to add to it. We need to embrace and appropriate it for our lives. Finally, in because of Christ, we are assured of a future hope in God. In Hebrews chapter 9, verses 27 to 28, it says, and just as it is appointed for man to die once, and after that comes judgment, so Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for Him. You know, there is the reality of death and judgment. I suppose that's why sin could be scary, and some of us tend to try to make up for it. We know there are consequences to it. The amazing thing is, because of Christ's perfect sacrifice, even death and judgment are things we no longer need to fear. You know, just yesterday I heard of the passing of a child, of a couple I have known a long time. Difficult to deal with the grief, the sadness, and the pain. And yet, days like this, one reality remains that we can hold on to. Because of Jesus, there is a future hope that we can hold on to. And when we say one day we will meet again, there is a certainty to it. We can always hope and look forward to it, even as Jesus said, He is coming back again. As we end this morning, I want to pray for all of us that we may have a fresh revelation of the completeness of what Jesus has already done for us. Why don't we pray? Lord, we thank You for saving us, for the perfect sacrifice that You gave on our behalf. I pray for everyone listening to this, that we may have a deeper understanding of the sacrifice You made for us and the fullness of the work that You did on the cross. For those who are still struggling to walk in the freedom we have in You, in the newness of the life You have given us, I pray for a breakthrough today. Lord, give them that fresh revelation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen.
Oh, You make all things new, Lord. You make all things new, Lord. We're no longer the same.
As we end, let me give the benediction of God from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. God bless you, everyone.
Thanks for joining us today. We hope this helps you build a habit of hearing from God daily. For more messages like these, follow us on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. If you'd like to watch these messages live every morning, visit us on facebook.com/victoryph.